This is Dr. Nancy Molina, and welcome to the Dr. Molina Show. I have a special guest this evening. My special, very special guest is Dr. Fred Bell. Dr. Bell, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you? How's it going?
Well, welcome. I'm so glad you're here this evening. I've been trying to get you on. As you know, I'm very interested in your work. And tonight we're going to have a little bit of a discussion, which is exciting to me. It's on detoxification processes and how to teach the patient all about that.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most important parts that people try to skip, which is in order to work in any sort of form of therapy is detoxing first. Most people don't want to believe they're toxic, but I've never met anybody yet, including myself, that wasn't.
I agree 100%. Well, you know a little bit about my story. I've had a two-time cancer patient, and I basically had to go ahead and look at cleansing processes and look at other alternative, complementary, natural things to help myself, because quite frankly, I didn't want to go with the medical treatments. I didn't feel that the best taught items out there for my cancers were prescription drugs and invasive therapy, which I feel is often unnecessary. So for me, the only answer I was going to have, rather than for a sore back taking a pill to numb the pain or for a stuffy nose taking a pill to unstuff it, when you have cancer, it's generally chemotherapy. So I stepped up to the plate and refused chemotherapy.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It is a major, major focus. And for someone to do this, now we have to understand, we need to make our listeners understand that it's not for everyone to make that decision. That decision must come with informed health care recommendations and being an informed patient. And that's what we're a little bit about tonight. But in 94 and 98, I guess I didn't learn my lesson, two separate cancers, the last one I was given 11 months to live, turned it around using a little bit of alternative contemporary medicine as well as conventional medicine. And I'm happy to say one of the processes was the detoxification.
Right. I imagine the major one.
Very
major. That's got to be a consistent thing with cancer, because cancer is a constant releasing poison into the system anyway.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's a serious problem that we've got in this country. We need everybody to know about it. One, you know, the population's drowning in a sea of prescriptions. And it's not curing our health problems. It's certainly not curing the cancers.
No. The prescriptions become carcinogenic themselves after a while.
Well, they're
real simple.
Well, I don't know why this happens. It might just simply be because, the drugs don't seem to address root causes of our health issues. A lot of times they address the symptoms. But in being on that side of the bedpan and being a patient myself, I had the wonderful opportunity to speak to physicians from outside of the United States. And I was somewhat surprised. First of all, inside the United States, it's a little different from the West Coast to the East Coast. What we call in medicine is algorithms or treatment protocols. It's different.
Yeah.
The procedure is different. We'll take cancer. Surgery or chemotherapy first. West Coast is completely different from East Coast. Now, on the other hand, in Britain, I had a wonderful oncologist remark to me, and I'll never forget him saying this. The way he put it was that on top of the ravages of cancer itself, he would not subject his patients to further indignities of chemotoxic drugs. I love the way he said it, because what a compassionate man.
Oh, yeah.
It is very debilitating. So tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, the predicament of poisons, what we're going to do. We don't want to tell the patients always that the health age ailments that they have are caused by aging or genetics or the weather. But, you know, the predicament of poisons is that tremendous amount of toxins in their body.
Exactly.
Now I don't know about you, but I detoxify annually.
I do. I'm getting to do it more. I discovered that kombucha stuff, which really works well for detoxing the liver. Mm-hmm. I live on that stuff now. I don't ever stop detoxifying, but I know you go through a pretty intensive program.
I go through different types of programs, and I think you have to, because I have to have a standardized, complex, and complete program. Certainly not complex to the patient, but it has to have some variability depending on what the patient's faced with, or even what myself was faced with, because these are the most toxic, we're living in the most toxic times in human history.
we
know,
I agree with that, unfortunately.
I well, you and I both. We know our water's been shown to be laden with illegal levels of medicine, solvents.
Oh, yeah, MTB, and then also it's also 15% radioactive.
Well, okay, there you go. Not only do we have, well, at least radiation, let's see, we can at least detect that, right? Geiger counters?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my
you actually
goodness.
Can in water. And,
oh, my goodness. Even our foods, not only the radiation, but the levels of pesticides, antibiotics, the growth hormones, all of these things are causing these cancers that's occurring. But a couple of things that we wanted to tell people out there about is, and again, not to, pardon the expression, bastardize the medical profession, because I must admit, even some medical doctors, they're beginning to see the merits of self-cleansing and detoxification. And it's a wonderful thing, because I have a very large amount of my patient load does come from medical referrals. Once they get the picture, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Most of it's with the heavy metal toxicity. And I think we should talk a little bit about all of the amounts of the metals in the body that can accumulate.
So why don't you explain to, first of all, people how they get metals, you know, heavy metal poisoning. A lot of people don't even know how they get it other than they've heard it from seafood or shellfish or fish that crawl on the bottom. That's about all people know.
Well, that's a good thought. Generally, with any amount of metals that accumulate, first of all, they're going to accumulate in the fat cells, the brain, the glands, the central nervous system, and in the bones. No amount of metals is going to be acceptable. I'll give you an example of one transmission or one exposure. My brother's a commercial fisherman.
Right.
He makes his own lead-weighted balls.
Right.
He loads those balls on a spinning spool that he throws out into the ocean. The balls are about 3 to 4 pounds. He had, a couple years ago, lead toxicity. Gee, I wonder why. He was not gloved.
Right.
He made his own lead balls, and it did create some health concerns for him, and he needed treatment. But most often, the patient will present with symptoms, and it always varies depending on the type of the metal, the extent of exposure, their age, and also the levels of protective minerals in the body. If we don't have enough minerals in our body to protect ourselves, we're going to be predisposed in a sense. Not only exposing ourselves, but we're going to be predisposed toward heavy metal toxicity.
Right.
And I know you love to take a multiple mineral, and I know you love to take your trace minerals. I'm a 100% believer in that as well. But here's par for the course that this is going to protect us against heavy metal toxicity. A lot of the times when the patient presents, we can use an example like aluminum. I'll have patients that will come in with vague complaints like constipation, nausea, low energy. They may have some skin rashes, learning disabilities. If they're younger, we might have an LD concern here, learning disability with no trauma, no brain trauma, some ringing in the ears, some headaches, things of this nature. Now, aluminum, interestingly enough, the source, and here I go again against the pharmaceutical companies, but retail markets as well, over-the-counter drug. The number one source is antacids.
Right, and also deodorant sprays.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? The antiperspirants.
People don't realize what the aluminum does to make that work is it clogs up the pores in the skin, which is completely destructive of the immune system.
Makes you kind of stop to think about why women in France have a very low incidence of breast cancer. And they're not prone to use antiperspirants, are they? They're not even prone to shave
no,
in that area.
No, they're not.
They are not applying the toxicity to the underarm. They're not having an open, broken, rashy area, of course, if they shave, you know, with a razor.
Right.
They're not contaminating themselves. So they have a very low incidence of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Where does the breast cancer occur? The outer tail of the breast. And that actually does go into the bicep and the upper arm area. That hole under the armpit, you grab hold, it goes all the way out to the bicep muscle. That is considered the tail of the breast. You've got your, as you stated, contaminated water with aluminum. You've got aluminum foil.
That's really bad, you know. Even in baked potatoes, you can pick up that a little bit.
Well, that's true. Those are possible causes. You know, the exposure can originate.
I think that in my research that, you know, the generations that came before me, they used aluminum pots and pans. That would have been the Reagan-esque area.
Very good, yes, aluminum cookware.
And the side effect from aluminum poisoning I've seen is Alzheimer's disease. I think that's
You're absolutely correct. What's happening is the aluminum has been implicated in Alzheimer's, and there's some wonderful research study. A lot of it came out of Berkeley, California, but there's been some new research study that it's being linked to Alzheimer's. Right back to the underarm antiperspirants. They also clog the lymphatic because in the armpit is the axilla, the lymphatic, part of the lymph nodes, the lymphatic chain.
Right.
And it may clog that area as
That's
well.
That's what doctors always check people to see if they have tumors. They're looking to see if there's something that's in the immune system. That's where
part,
they check.
Part of my exam on a woman, of my exam on a woman over 40 years of age, I'm going to check the tail of the breast. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's you know, aluminum just one. One of the common ones out there, too, is, you know, we have cadmium, we have lead. Cadmium, of course, symptoms of toxicity will be high blood pressure, I'll find out. If I run laboratory blood serum panels to assess kidney function, I might find some kidney damage. But I may find an increased incidence of kidney stones.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing is, a lot of beer drinkers drink out of aluminum cans. A lot of soda pop in general.
You know, that's interesting. Right.
And, you know, if it sits around too long, it will. The beer or the Coca-Cola, if it's in a can like a Diet Coke, will actually start to eat up the walls of the can. That's why they spray it with a toxic, enamel in there to prevent it from eating through.
Right, right.
If it gets hot, you know, like in the sun, and cooled down, the damage is done, you know.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
With the that reminds me why I don't drink any form of soda.
Yeah,
mostly phosphorus levels. But so the cadmium, when you're looking at that, some of the sources are as well. We know cigarette and pipe smoke and coffee and tea and soft drinks, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And here's what's interesting. What I know about that one is that it is in biochemistry. It competes with zinc. So it's going to interfere with, it's going to compete for the binding site. So it's going to interfere with zinc functions.
Yeah, and that's really serious because zinc is the number two most used behind calcium mineral in the body.
Right, it is because you need it to protect you against free radical damage.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So we're going to look at those as well with the patient. Another one I wanted to mention, there's so many with the heavy metal toxicities. We can't discuss them all, but I think
an old one from teeth. Everybody knows that one by now.
Right. I'm going to bring up lead because I get a lot of headache patients in here and a lot of GI problems in here and a lot of muscle pain and anemia.
Well, you know, anybody that goes on a freeway, drives on the freeway for more than a half an hour every day is subject to a lot of lead poisoning.
Leaded gasoline.
Not so much from the lead-free fuel, but the material that's in the brake pads is still there, still have lead in them, you know.
Well, you know, I wasn't aware of that.
Vaporizing asbestos and lead mixture.
Okay, makes sense. Some of the sources were the lead gasoline, of course. Air pollution, that's what I thought you were alluding to there for a moment. Air pollution is a number one source. As I said, my brother's a fisherman.
Especially around coal or oil refineries and things, yeah.
Absolutely. But I think the pottery, the cosmetics, we don't even want to go into the discussion of the cosmetics. There's so much heavy metals in cosmetics, but lead is a number one. Ladies out there, we need to get some natural cosmetics with you.
Yeah, that's why that Lamas Beauty that Don and Doug have are so good, because they leave all that stuff out. They made a conscious effort not to put that stuff in there.
Absolutely.
That's about the only cosmetic company, by the way, I've seen that actually doesn't have that in there, although I've seen many, many claims from others that claim they do have that preventive, but they don't. They lie.
No, that's LamasBeauty.com, and I have looked at the products. And
yeah, you've tried them out already, huh?
Absolutely.
That's your care package already.
But I tell you, well, considering you're talking to an old Alaska gal here who makes her own makeup, we're dealing with
like
this.
That.
Pardon me?
Go out and get the berries and the bugs.
Yeah, the berry and the bug. But we're dealing with such toxicities that I cringe when I look at the cosmetic lines out there.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, we don't realize we're you know, creating a human toxic cocktail. All right. Well, since we know why we're around to doing it, there's many different methods of doing it. Everyone out there now knows. Hopefully we can get some callers in.
Well, let's go ahead and explain some of the ways of detoxing, bringing these metals out of the body.
Well, some of the things that I like to deal with primarily is just a major cleanse first off.
Yeah.
I don't believe in fasting to push that patient over the cliff.
Right.
I like to rejuvenate the patient a little bit because depending on how they come in, they can be so toxic that I have a multitude of symptoms that I'm chasing down the diagnostic arena, and I have a multitude of diagnoses. I have to find the primary.
Right.
Most of it is I don't feel good. So if I can get to the don't feel good and right off the bat just rejuvenate them for about a month, just build them up, because I don't want to send them on a fast that might push them off the cliff. Everyone has the mistaken assumption that detoxification is solely to cleanse the colon. It's not. I mean, everyone has that idea. It's just a good colon cleanser.
Right.
No. You're going to create a little toxic ping pong ball effect. It's going to go to another organ. That toxin, whatever it may be, whether it's a heavy metal toxicity or whether it's a virus or something is staying in the body, we're not going to take tonight. We don't have time tonight to talk about the amount of toxicity that can affect. Now, we're going to keep it simple with some heavy metals.
Yeah.
I think the folks out there can understand. But there are other toxins that do occur, and I want the public to know that. But the very first thing I'm going to do is build them up, rejuvenate them, make certain they have a high mineral load. They have to have minerals. Make certain they have a high protein load. I'm not talking about eating nothing but flesh food.
Right.
I'm talking about amino acids and building your amino acids, because without the proper amount of protein in your body, you cannot build a new cell. You cannot make a new body.
That's
you
right.
Must
now, do you
have
like
protein.
The free-form amino acids?
I love the free-form amino acids.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm two, three times a day. That's me.
Yeah, no,
morning
that's
when
really
I
good.
Get up.
That, it gives you, because it builds vasopressin, because of the lysine and arginine content, it gives you a very euphoric feeling when you take these things.
Not only is it mood elevating.
Yeah, very much.
You
so.
Feel good. And sometimes, remember, the patient comes in, they're so toxic, I'm chasing the symptom and the diagnostic criteria is all over the place. Generally, I'm very well centered with the patient. However, they just don't feel good. I have to make them feel good. Minerals
yeah, you know,
are going to do that.
One of the things that Aminos we use over here at Paradigm is we have a thing called a silver power dome. And you wear it on your head, and what it does, it creates a hydrogen reaction in the brain,
mm-hmm.
and it detoxes the brain, and people can actually taste the metal in their mouth as the detox process takes place.
And that's another form of detoxification. Now, would you put that into a, how would you classify that form of a detox?
Well, the FDA used to call it a nuisance item, but then when the FDA decided to use them themselves, they decided it worked, it became moot, so it's... I would call it electromagnetic detox, you know, electrochemical detoxification.
Absolutely. And there's other forms of detox out there. And of course, some of the exposure we get is certainly not limited to heavy metals. It's also, we might as well touch upon it quickly, it also has to do with vibrational energy. It has to do with our exposure to light frequencies, to sound frequencies, to electromagnetic frequencies, anything that will change our natural vibrational frequency or infringe. You know, it's like when that person stands a little too close to you, or that mean, rotten, nasty person who can't smile for the life of them stands a little too close to you, you start absorbing their vibrational energy. Pardon me?
An auric transfer.
Right, and that's what that would assist for as well, the pyramid.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. So basically, I'm going to rejuvenate them a little bit, then I'm going to go ahead and I'm absolutely must fast. Absolutely. I got to jump start any time I heal a patient, including myself. I have got to cleanse the body.
Yeah.
So I will do a real easy about a, it depends on the patient, depends on their level of function, how they are currently, you know, how long I have to rejuvenate them before I put them on a fast. But they're going to be on a fast for about 3 to 8 days. Because I want to detoxify the system of parasites that have been destroying their health. I want to give them back energy. I want to clear up their skin. I want to brighten the whites of their eyes. And that's when you're feeling good and you are feeling good from inside out and you've gone through detox, it's one of the first things that happen is you do brighten the whites of your eyes.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
One of the things that we used to do on those longer fasts, when we come bring people off the fast, we bring them up, we get some pumpkin seeds and the ascorbic molasses in their system. And that's hell on worms, I'll tell you.
Well, part of the...
Ever use that method? I mean, it's kind of
absolutely
old, but it works.
Absolutely. I love blackstrap molasses.
Yeah.
I love it. In fact, I use blackstrap molasses also on my anemia patients.
Oh, very good.
It's, I you know, forget the jelly. I love homemade jelly. Remember, I'm from Alaska.
Yeah.
Back home, we do a lot of the canning and everything.
Yeah.
But I like blackstrap molasses because it's great for iron deficiency anemia.
Yeah.
Just throw a little bit of that on your toast. There you go, instead of the jelly on a daily basis.
It's a great detoxer, too.
So what I'm going to do to detoxify them is I'm going to start this fast. Now, it's an ultimate fast, okay? And what goes in comes out. So this ultimate fast is something that they're going to drink all day long for several days. Now, that doesn't mean they can't eat. They will have to have a specific diet. I don't take, you know what I do, I don't take anything away from the patient. I don't make a horrific type of a diet. I simply ask them, you know what, this is what you need to do. You need to avoid this, avoid that. Okay, if you're going to do it, then you need a little bit of moderation. And you're going to have to cut this. That's it. That's all I do. So I like them to have a light meal that will ease the digestive burden. In other words, don't put a lot of stuff out there because what goes in has to come out. I'm trying to detoxify. At the end of 8 days, when the patient can get to that particular point, they notice a change in their stools.
Yeah.
They notice a change in their clarity along about the fourth day in their mind. When you detoxify through fasting, and it's such a time-honored approach, not only to improve physical health, but also to gain spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been used just for centuries by cultures around the world. So I like it for a tune-up in that reason, too. But after we complete that type of a fast, there's different areas we can go into. We can use an herbal and whatnot, but I find homeopathic works quite well.
Yeah, that's one of the best.
For the for those folks that don't know about homeopathic, there's two forms out there. We probably keep it real simple. One is a classical homeopathy, which are single remedy formulas, available retail and good, quite good. Instead of little Tommy who has earache, say he's, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, you can put drops in the ear, which are homeopathic formulas, which will help with the earache.
Right.
They're single formulas. They're fairly safe. I haven't seen any unwanted effects from them. They've been around for just years, and a lot of the mommies out there know about it. The other form is the clinical homeopathy, which is a European approach, and that's something that I practice.
Right.
And the European approach that we work with is we basically are going to look at a patient going through different phases of a detox. And each phase will address all of the toxins in their body. One phase will be a specific detox. Another phase will be a process to where we're looking at the heavy metals. Another phase will look at the parasitics. It's just an amazing process. It doesn't take long. It does not take long for the patient to go through this. And the patients I've had go through it come back. They do it again. So what I teach my patients is when you have one extensive, complete detox, which is the cleansing, the ultimate cleansing, the fasting, the spiritual, for the spiritual and the physical well-being, you're doing the 3-8-day fast, little moderate correction of the diet, what goes in, The fast itself has a drink, which is very simple. It's been around forever. It's simply organic lemons. It's simply replacing your ATP or glucose load by using a pure grade A maple syrup. You put cayenne pepper in there. Cayenne pepper is a vasodilator, particularly to the guts, the sinusoid areas, the membranes of the gut. Opens it up, pulls out the plaque, the calcium deposits and everything. And you drink this drink. You make the drink in distilled water. It must be distilled water. And you make it to taste. This is what you're going to use for 3 to 8 days. That is the fast.
Yeah,
however,
one
you
of
still,
the things about distilled water people don't realize.
If I may say, just one meal a day is allowed. I don't want them to starve. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, one of the things that I've learned, a lot of people don't realize, is that distilled water is great on a fast like this when you're pulling out heavy metals.
Mm-hmm.
But drinking it all the time is very unhealthy.
Well, it's a problem with all the time. I agree with you.
I understand. People don't understand that. I've seen people drink it on a regular basis, and not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why they don't have any energy. It's like, well, there's no electrolytes in your body. How can you have any energy, you know?
Well, that's part of it. I just want plain distilled water.
Yeah,
that's
excellent for what you're doing, using this for.
And so once they go through the detox program, which is, they have to do one major. My next recommendation is that they're going to be doing it on an annual basis. A seasonal basis. So down here in Southern California, we don't have any seasons. So I just try to remember summer, remember holidays, and they're going to do a short detoxification, which consists of 3 days. Now, I'm going to go back quickly to the program for healing that we offer in my office. We offer the different phases. The phase one is a preparation stage.
Right.
And when the patient gets stronger, they can they can more effectively remove the toxins that have accumulated over the years.
Right.
So in those patients that are sensitive, it's especially important. We're going to address the fatigue and exhaustion. The second phase is when they actually have a drainage. Now, when you have drainage, we're not talking the nose, okay? When we have drainage out there, what means is we're eliminating the load from the body. When you look at homeopathy, clinical homeopathy, which is health professional directed, what you're looking at is there's going to be some slight discomfort. It's unavoidable. However, if you have a thorough knowledge of how you drain, number one, you may get a slight increase in headaches, need for sleep, or nausea. That means we're draining your toxins in your lymphatic system.
That, you know, the body cycles itself, and people oftentimes worry, you know, during the course of a year, maybe once or twice a month or once a month, they'll have 2 or 3 or even 4 days of just lethargic energy, and they're not even on a detox program. But what I find is that the body's automatically detoxing for them. It just sort of kicks in, you know.
And we should allow it. The liver has a natural detoxification system that we've labeled the cytochrome P450 system.
Yeah.
P450 because we have in our own miraculous body 450 enzymes that'll do the process.
Yeah.
But what happens, and you and I both know it, whatever we take in or whatever we're exposed to, for our body to try to eliminate it, we must first break the chemical bond that it's introduced to us as, such as a food substance.
Exactly.
We need to break that chemical bond, and when we break that chemical bond, now it's unstable, now it's toxic. We often exceed our liver's capability.
Right.
And that's why we become toxic. The other things we have is depression and anger and anxiety or nightmares. That's the brain-mind. We've got some toxins there that we have to eliminate. And, again, the pyramid would be ideal with that.
Yeah, it's very good for that.
With toxins in liver, kidney, colon, and lungs, I find that the patient might have a little frequency in urination. We might find some more skin rashes, some bad breath. They go, oh, my breath is so bad. You're draining. You're detoxifying. So once toxins are filtered out of the circulation through organs that are going to excrete them, organs that are going to excrete them, and the body will select the most convenient channel. It can be your nose. It can be your eyes. You might get watery eyes. It can be your skin, and you'll have an unpleasant odor. It can be other routes. So just to let the patient know, it's a gentle drainage. Phase 3 is a non-specific detox. I'm going to address most of the lymphatic system there because I want to stop this toxic ping-pong effect. Phase 4 has a specific detox with some homeopathic formulas. These are, again, clinical formulas. They take them. They're by drops. Very simple. You can put them in water. You take them away from food. You take them first thing in the morning, then at lunch, and then at dinner. Sometimes it might even be 4 to 5 times a day. But when we get to the specific detox, phase 4 and phase 5, the phase 4 is going to be when we eliminate some of the heavy metals. Now, I like to have blood serum studies of parts per billion for lead toxicities, you know, hair analysis,
good,
things of that nature.
I like that too.
For me, blood serum studies are fine. They're fine. I like to see that because I like to show the patient how we've corrected it. So the pre and post is ideal.
Right.
I had a gal in here. I put her through this because she came in and it was probably, she was a thyroid patient, hypothyroid. This was probably the worst hypothyroid patient I had ever seen because when I got her lab back, her lab was so off the mark in the pathological range that she was having symptoms of congestive heart failure. Because that's what thyroid, underactive thyroid will do. It'll cause a little fluid shifting in your body.
Right.
And she literally was swollen all the way up to her knees. And you know what it turned out to be? The original, after we corrected her thyroid, and corrected it by showing her on the blood serum lab as well.
Yeah.
And I had some outside help with a couple of my medical providers. I had some outside help with them, of course. But after we've corrected that, guess what? Turned out to be lead. I was smart enough to think to, you know, what is causing this? What? Where did she get? There's no thyroid history in this gal's family.
Right.
Sent her out and had a blood study, and boy, she was so lead toxic. Put her through this. But that is what created the damage to the thyroid. It's just fascinating. But phase 4, I've got to think about it, because phase 4 was a specific detox, and this is where she had a little bit of a problem because she was draining more and more. We were addressing heavy metals,
right,
pesticides, herbicides. Phase 5, this is where we have a deep chelation therapy because some toxins are so chemically attached to the tissues that they're not easily removed. You know, they've been there for years. These are the things that lead to the predisposition of tumors and malfunctions of organs. And then I build them up again right after that, rejuvenate them out again. And then I simply recommend at the end of this detox program that I've done with them,
right,
and it's not long. It takes about 2 months. It's not a burden. It's easy to do. The first thing you got to do is do the first 3 to 8 days on the fast. That's going to do wonders.
Right.
Then going through this, we're going to have phases where they need to have massage because they need to have lymph drainage. They need to do dry brushing. You know, there's lots of things that goes on. Then they can simply do a natural detox, possibly even on their own through some classical homeopathy formulas or some light herbs over there in the retail marketplace. Simply go through every season with a very light detox using the drink cleanser once again. Very easy to do. Very easy to do. Patients need to be more aware of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're not. Homeopathy, for those that don't know, it was started by Dr. Hahnemann. And Dr. Samuel Hahnemann is pretty interesting in himself. He basically... What was exciting about it was he sent a bunch of medical students out to survey patients' symptoms because, of course, medical students are well-trained. They have a good clinical eye. And when he determined this, he would say, okay, a cough has these types of symptoms. What he tried to do was rather than suppress symptoms, Samuel Hahnemann, as a medical doctor, and this is quite some time back. We're talking over 150 years now with Samuel.
Yeah, Brent. Yeah.
Instead of suppressing, discovered
pasteurization. Actually,
he would go ahead instead of suppressing, he would let the body take that symptom and manifest it. He would give you homeopathic formulas, this is the idea of the like cures like, homeopathic formulas that would increase your symptoms because it strengthened your body. So it was an amazing process. So it's been around quite some time, and we're going to go back before we close the program tonight. We're going to go back and just make a comment that Dr. Bell had brought up. There are sources of toxic disturbance. We alluded to them, basically, but we only discussed certain things like heavy metals. But if we were to categorize them, you simply can put the human being in the center. This is the human system. You can have sources of toxic disturbance, and I'll leave this comment for another program, but one source can be spiritual. Another source can be mental and emotional toxins. The mental and emotional can be learned negative habit patterns. How about emotional or physical trauma? You can have inherited toxins. How many women, young women, do I get coming in here telling me that they have a genetic marker now that shows positive for breast cancers because their mother had breast cancer? Well, that simply means that she's passed that chromosome over to you because of her exposure. It's an inherited toxin now and a genetic disorder. You can have the physical toxins that we somewhat talked about, the man-made pollutants, smog, preservatives, pesticides, chemicals, the biological organisms, the viruses, the bacteria. We can have the natural environmental pollutants, such as the heavy metals we actually did discuss, digestive waste, overworked digestive system. And then a little bit of Dr. Bell had discussing with the pyramid energy, there's an external energy or field disturbances, which we know as electromagnetic. And this sources of a toxic disturbance can be, electrical outlets, computers, electrical devices. There's also a geopathic stress. The geopathic stress is the Earth's magnetic field. We did talk about radiation, X-rays, nuclear radiation, ultraviolet radiation. We talked briefly and didn't explain it about frequency disturbance, color frequencies, sound frequencies. I think we know what we're going to talk about next time. There is a lot to the program.
I agree. It totally is.
Well, Dr. Bell, it's always a pleasure talking to you, but one thing that I would like you to comment on is to let me have your website.
Yeah, it's www.pyradyne.com, or they can type in Dr. Fred Bell on any search engine and it'll take you there.
Okay, and you're also, from what I understand, you're also on live radio shows in Florida right now.
Yeah, I have a show on BBS, and then I've got another show. I picked up two stations down in Florida, Tampa Bay, so I've got them now, and another internet network that I'm on now, too. But, and then Art Bell, I do Art Bell. I'll be doing that in a couple of weeks. So we do a lot of shows, and I haven't really been going out doing a lot of other shows that I've been asked to do because I haven't finished this other book I'm trying to get done. So when I finish the other book, The Inside Track, then I'm going to go out on the television talk show circuit again. I haven't done that in a long time.
Well, you're an author of many books, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm doing another one. Most of the books I've done so far are not so mainstream. The new one is totally mainstream because the people have caught up to our work now, and they're recognizing it, and we're going to cover a lot of the politics versus medicine versus insanity versus constitutional rights, all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm working on now.
Well, I've always known you to be a revolutionist.
Oh, yeah.
A brilliant revolutionist.
Well, I don't know, there's a thin line between an idiot and a revolutionist, but I guess I'm somewhere in between, depending on the day of the week or something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're talking with Dr. Fred Bell. He has health science and energy shows that airs on BBS Tuesday, 8 to 9 Pacific time, and Saturdays, still Saturdays, 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time?
Yeah. You got
the two.
7 to 8 out here on Pacific time, yeah, and then on the East Coast it's 10 to 11. Yeah.
Well, I know, and I do appreciate you coming on. I understand that the Florida stations are the WTAN 1340 AM and WZHR Radio AM 1400 Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
So actually, I'm certain Florida is welcoming you at this point. Didn't you just broadcast last
either
week?
They're welcoming me or wanting to get rid of me. We'll find out over the next month.
Well, you're always welcome on the Dr. Molina Show, because the next thing we're going to talk about is probably going to be, because of your training, your background, it's going to be an external energy and field disturbances.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I think that'll be an exciting talk show for us. I am Dr. Nancy Molina. I'm available at MolinaChiropractic.com. The discussion this evening was on detoxification, natural detoxification. If you go to my website at MolinaChiropractic.com and you look up under wellness health, you'll see a little bit of a program on the different phases of toxicity and what you can do to remedy it. If you have any questions, while I can't address specific medical conditions to individuals that are not my patients by email, I can certainly assist you by phone, by landline. You can call me at 949-248-2826. You can certainly try to email me with some non-specific questions to mcpcsjc-info, that's info@yahoo.com. Dr. Bell, it's been a pleasure as always. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, it was fun. It's the first show we've done together.
The first show. It's not going to be the last one, because I think getting this one under our belt, we're now going to be looking at where your focus is, which seems to be a little over everywhere, but it seems to be more scientifically based and more of the energy frequencies. And as you know, I'm trying to tie you down for the longest time, because my two cancers that I had were not related at all. And we won't mention where I used to work, but okay, on the air, at least I don't want to mention it, but it was a result of radiation exposure. I do want to talk to you about those items.
It's not very nice stuff,
but I think there's some interesting things that we can chat about with that. Anyway, again, Dr. Bell, thank you so much for joining us this evening on the Dr. Molina Show.
Well, thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back again.
And have a good night.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.